Winston, a serial in 6 parts by Peter Tinniswood. Number 1, A Happy Family.
I say, helicopters again. Wacko, I do love helicopters. Look, look, chaps. You can see the soldiers leaning out, peering through their binoculars. Stirring sight, Abram.
My word, yes, Father. Sends the pulses throbbing. Patriotism runs riot. Listen to me. Do you know what our brave boys are looking for through their binoculars?
No.
Women sunbathing topless in their back garden.
I wish you wouldn't be so cynical about everything, Rosie.
I'm not being cynical, William. It's true. And it's a bloody disgrace. If you've got any spunk about you, you'd write to the commanding officer and complain.
I've got far more important things to do with my life than write letters to gin-sodden, damp-toothed, head-pecked army officers.
You make me sick.
Oh, shut up.
I will not shut up.
Ah, here we go. Helicopters again. Wacko! Doity!
We are what is called a happy family. Contented, calm, self-contained, secure. We moved into the village from London a year ago. Father, my brother William, my sister Rosie, and myself, Nancy. Good old Nancy. On the first day, we had a major gas leak, 22% and rising, and the central heating boiler was condemned too. On the second day, 2 ceilings fell in. Then all the pipes burst, and we discovered we had to have the whole house rewired immediately. We could not have managed without Winston. Without Winston, we would have been completely, utterly, and totally defeated.
Winston. Lovely, lovely man with his fat brown belly and his droopy sapata moustache and the blue vein chip between his 2 front teeth.
Oh, Winston. Very, very nice cove. Reminds me of an ablutions wallah I once had in Goa. Or was it Madras? I don't suppose it really matters. In my experience, bowel movements are the same the world over.
Winston. I like Winston. I really do like him. He taught me how to French kiss. Only in theory, of course.
This is the story of Winston, village poacher, scholar, gentleman, romantic, and out-and-out rogue. When we moved into the village, Winston transformed our lives. He installed a new central heating boiler for us. He gave us a new stench pipe, free and gratis. He got rid of the smell in the downstairs loo and introduced us to the works of Kingsley Amis. And on the day of the village fete, he took me into the woods at the back of his house, and we sat side by side at the foot of a great beech tree, and we... Yes, well, never mind about that. That's another story.
Oh, I say, helicopters again, fairly pleasant. I don't know how many ladies they've seen with no togs on. I once saw a lady with no togs on in Karachi when I was in India with your mother. She had an immensely hooked nose, I seem to remember.
Yes, Father, yes. We've heard all about it. Many times. Many, many times. Times without number.
I wish you wouldn't shout like that.
I'm not shouting.
You are.
I'm not.
Yes, we are indeed a happy, happy family.
Is someone going to answer that bell? I'm onto my elbows in flour and...
I see. Do it yourself, Nancy. As usual, as always.
No, all right, I'm coming. Hold your horses.
I opened the door, and there stood Winston. Winston with his lime-green woolly hat jammed low over his forehead and his long black hair curling over his shoulders. Winston with his shirt open to his waist and the tattoos above each nipple. Over the right, the word mild. Over the left, the word bitter.
Hello, Nancy.
Hello, Winston. What a lovely day, isn't it?
To be sure it is, Nancy, without a doubt. It's always a lovely day in May, look. I just walked along the riverbank and I seen the kingfisher and the old mink with the grey muzzle skulking in the reeds and the barn owl hunting low over the water meadows and the larks singing their heads off.
How lovely.
Yes. I wish I'd brought my gun with me.
Winston, what a dreadful thing to say.
It's the ways and the wiles of the country, Nancy. You're not living in the city now, look. You're living in the country, my dear.
I'm quite well aware of that, Winston. Thank you very much. Now then, what can I do for you?
Well, it's like this, Nancy. I've been thrown out of my house.
What?
The missus have gone and turfed me out, look, lock, stock and barrel.
What?
The missus, Nancy, my missus. You know, sir, the ugly old party with the blotches and congenital knees.
What?
I wish you wouldn't keep saying what, Nancy. It's perfectly simple, look. My missus have objected to Umbridge, look, to my bits of fluff.
Your bits of fluff?
The women I has on the side. My bits of fluff. Everyone knows about old Winston's bits of fluff, look. You ask Rosie. What? Ask yourself, Nancy. Think of the day of the village fete when we went
thank
down
you,
on the
Winston,
old...
Thank you, I don't think we'll go into that, if you don't mind.
Oh, that old beech tree. He could tell you a thing or two about my bits of fluff if he don't mind at all.
Winston, that's enough.
Right, Nancy, right. You don't mind if I scratches myself in a personal place, do you?
I'd rather you didn't.
Oh, right.
Now then, Winston, let's get this straight. Your wife has thrown you out of your house because she objects to your infidelities.
In a manner of speaking, Nancy. It's like Madame Bovary, only in reverse, look.
I don't understand, Winston.
It's just simple, Nancy. My missus have at long last took the ump on account of my constant and never-ending gallivanting, and I've got herself a blokey.
A blokey?
Yes. Gilbert Spurfield from the Ironmongers. He moved in last night with his stamp collection and his offermore.
Well, I don't quite know what to say, Winston. I mean, have you thought of what you're going to do? Have you made any plans?
Yes.
What?
I'm going to move in here with you.
What?
Oh, it's the best thing all round, Nancy. Couldn't have worked out better. Look, I comes to live with you, and you've got me constantly on hand, haven't you? I'll keep my eye on your stench pipe. I'll wait on you at table. I'll drive you round in my motor, my car lot. I'll do all your repairs and renovations, drain your septic tank, unblock your guttering, and explain to you in simple terms the philosophy of Jean-Jacques Rousseau and his social contract. Right, Nancy, my gear's in my motor, my car lot, so I'll just go and fetch Eric.
Eric? Who's Eric?
My dog, Nancy. He's a lurcher. You'll like old Eric. You'll love him. He's mustard when it comes to catching rats, look.
And so Winston moved in. And so did Eric.
That dog! That bloody dog. Do you know what he's done now?
Oh, keep your voice down, William. Don't get hysterical.
I'm not getting hysterical, Rosie. I've keeping very calm. My brain is precise and icy with concentration as I tell you dispassionately and coolly that Winston's dog has eaten chapter one of my new history of the Great Eastern Railway.
Oh, dear, William. Can't you change it to the Great Western Railway?
No, I cannot. I spent the last 10 months of my life in the most meticulous research into every aspect of the finances, operating methods, and rolling stock policies of the Great Eastern Railway. And then this morning, what happens this morning? I come into my study to discover that Winston's dog has eaten the first chapter and all my notes on the swing bridge at Beccles.
I once had a dog rather like that in India, the fearful brute he was. He hit the steering wheel of our neighbour's Fraser Nash Tourer. Or was it a Wolseley convertible?
Who cares what it was, Father? The point is that Winston and that dog are destroying the whole fabric of our life and... Oh, dear.
Well, bang him in the shed, then.
What?
Well, bang him in the shed in the bottom of the garden. That's what we did with blighters like him in India. The shed in the bottom of the garden in India were always full of them. Little brown buggers, crouched up in their underpants, staring at their big toenails.
Oh, Father, please. Oh, crumbs, what a state to get ourselves in.
Well, there's only one thing for it.
And what's that, Rosie?
We'll have to hold a family conference.
The family conference? I say, I'm splendid. I love family conferences. Fearfully interesting. Look, if I should fall asleep, there's no need to bother waking me up.
And so that evening we held a family conference. We didn't draw the curtains in the sitting room. We let the stars crackle at the window panes. We let the moon grin at us.
Well, the way I look at it is this. Winston is now firmly established in this house and...
And his dog. Don't forget that disgusting, wretched, mangy dog.
Winston and his dog are now firmly established in this house. Now then, do we want things to stay that way, or do we want to change them? And if so, how do we go about doing it? Do we reason with him? Do we threaten him?
We can always shoot him.
What?
Oh, we could get one of those helicopter chappies to take him up in his machine and drop him out over the mushroom farm.
He'd bounce.
Huh?
He'd bounce right back up into the helicopter with a great triumphant grin on his face.
Oh, don't be so idiotic, the two of you. Let's try and be sensible and cool and calm and collected for a change, shall we? Let's each of us in turn give our opinion about whether Winston should stay or whether Winston should go. Right then, Nancy, over to you.
What? What's that you say?
You've not been listening, have you? You've not heard a word I've said.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rosie. I'm sorry. How rude of me. It's just that I'm... All those memories. It's so strange. They just come flooding back.
What memories, Nancy?
Memories of our last house in London. I was thinking about the house spider. The day we moved, he disappeared. I wonder if the new people have looked after him. I wonder if he's happy. And then I got round to thinking about the day we moved in here and the gas leak and the poor old boiler being condemned and looking so wretched about it. And we sat here in the cold on packing cases with night lights because all the fuses had blown. And then Winston came round with his lovely smile and nicotine stains in the palms of his hands. And one day I looked out of my bedroom window and there he was. Straddled across the roof, ripping off the slates with his funny hammer, and he was singing at the top of his voice, and he was wearing the most ghastly canary yellow socks, all wrinkled at the ankles, and he looked so happy. I'd never seen anyone look so happy. I didn't know people could look so happy. I'm a mature woman, and I didn't realize people could look happy without feeling guilty.
Yes, Nancy, yes. It's all very well going sentimental on us, but what we need now is the practical approach. I detest Winston's socks just as much as you do, but the manner in which he clads his feet is not the issue at stake. What we've got to decide is our attitude towards his presence in our house.
Can I smell burning?
What?
Yeah, I can smell burning.
Oh, it's you, Father.
Huh?
There's a spark fallen from your pipe and set alight your cardigan.
Oh.
Stay where you are and I'll put you out.
Oh, you know, chaps, it amazes me that the Boffins haven't considered inventing a fireproof cardigan for the use of inveterate pipe smokers.
Will you please shut up and listen to me?
Yeah, certainly, old boy, certainly. Keep your wool on. He's just like his mother, you know, only he doesn't play golf.
Father!
Oh, sorry. As you were. Carry on.
Right then, William. The floor is all yours. Be intensely practical and tell the meeting what you think about Winston.
Well, I'll put my card straight on the table and say that I like the chap. I think he's a good sort. Since we've lived in this village, he's been absolutely invaluable to us. No, more than that, he's been essential. Without Winston, I don't think we could have survived. Oh, I know he tends to pog a bit in the summer, but his loyalty to us has never been in question. Despite his tattoos, he's a real brick.
I rather like his tattoos. I think they're fun.
Oh, so do I, Nancy. I mean, frightfully amusing words to have tattooed above one's nipples, gin and tonic. Now, this nude woman with no togs on I met in Karachi, that... Oh, sorry, William. You were saying...
I was about to say, Father, that I look on Winston as a personal friend, a close friend. He's been kind and unfailingly generous to me, no doubt about it. He taught me how to... Well, he taught me how to appreciate the countryside and take a full part in the life of the village. I'm grateful to him. I shall always be grateful, but...
But what?
He can't stay here. He can't live with us in this house.
Why not?
Because he's not our sort.
Why?
Oh, good grief, Rosie, it's obvious.
Not to me.
Well, of course it is. You know perfectly well that he's uncouth and vulgar and...
Common?
Common, exactly. Winston might be the salt of the earth, he might have a heart of gold, but deep down, basically, he is irredeemably common. He's not our sort.
What a disgustingly snobbish thing to say.
Is it really?
Yes, it is. You don't understand the first thing about Winston, do you?
Oh, don't I?
No, you don't. Okay, Winston slurps his soup. Okay, he takes his shoes off in the sitting room and sniffs his socks. Okay, he picks his nose and sticks the bits on the corner of the tablecloth. But that's just superficial. It doesn't mean a thing. Winston is a gentleman. He's the most superb company, attentive and polite and courteous. Oh, you don't know these things. You've never been out for an evening with him in his motor, his car.
Of course I haven't. I'm not one of his bits of fluff, am I?
How dare you say that?
That's true. It's true.
It is not
it
true.
Is, it is.
And so they started. And oh, my gosh and my golly, did they get stuck into each other. Rosie's face went red and her eyes started to pop. William ground his teeth and rattled his cufflinks. And I looked at them and I thought, a happy family? Us a happy family? We are the most quarrelsome, argumentative family I've ever met in the whole of my life. We can't do anything together without quarrelling, without falling out and shouting and screaming at each other. Why? Why do we suspect happiness so much? Why do we hate it and fear it? Why can't we be like Winston? Simple, direct, totally gluttonous for happiness. Winston. Winston so full of love and mischief. Winston so gentle, so warm, so...
Nancy! Nancy!
Yes?
It's your turn now.
What?
Well, William's had his say about Winston. I've had my say about Winston. Father's fast asleep, so he doesn't count. Right, then. It's your turn. Tell us whether you think Winston should stay or whether he should go.
He should go.
What?
It's quite out of the question for him to stay here.
Why?
Because he doesn't fit in.
Exactly, Nancy. Precisely.
He doesn't belong here. He's dirty. He's smelly. His manners are appalling. He's rude. He's disrespectful. He's... And at that moment, the door of the drawing room was thrown open and Winston entered. I could not believe what I saw. The stubble had disappeared from his chin. His hair was neatly cut and sleeked back with pomade. And he was wearing a black alpaca jacket, pinstripe trousers and patent leather dancing pumps. And over his left arm he carried a stiff, starched, snow-white napkin. He bowed and he said,
"Supper is served. That is without a doubt."
And he turned and pulled into the room the trolley Mother had brought back from Fort William all those years ago. On it was laid our best dinner service, and the silver cutlery Mother had won in the golf tournament at Dunoon all those years ago. And the whole trolley was groaning with food. And it looked delicious, and it smelled divine. It looked absolutely ravishingly exquisite.
Just a little something I knocked up. Look, right then, I'll tell you what everything is, just so you know what you're supposed to be eating. If you'd like to wake up your dad, Rosie, I shall now commit. Time begin. Right then. You has a choice of starters. A pickled salmon there, canapes a la creme, or a nice fricassee of eggs. Now, for your joint, you've got a roast pork with pistachio nuts. Or you might like to try the chicken liver with grapes. Provided you've got a strong stomach and don't mind the pips. Now, for your vegetables, you've got asparagus with new potatoes, savoury cucumber, and a chilled salad of haricot vert. For dessert, you have the choice of gooseberry flan or superb French cheeses freshly garnered from Pool Harbour this very morning. Well, don't just sit there looking all gormless with your maze wide open. Look, you get stuck in there and enjoy yourselves. I don't mind if you have a good fart when you finish, look.
And so we got stuck in. Oh, yes, did we get stuck into that meal. It was superb. It was gorgeous. It was delicate, refined, and infinitely subtle.
Winston, these canapés are absolutely delicious.
So's the pickled salmon. Wonderful.
Thank you, William. Mm. Would you like your carrot now, or would you prefer to wait till I bring the glasses in? There wasn't no room for them on the tray, see? Mind you, if you're gasping, you can always drink straight from the neck of the bottle, can't you?
I think we'll wait till you bring the glasses in, Winston, if you don't mind. Crumbs, this pork, magnificent.
You know what the secret of it is? You know why he looks so good on your plate?
No, tell me.
You soak him in saltpeter for a good 3 days, and you make sure the dog don't sniff him with his nose.
Well, that's a fearfully interesting tip, I must say. I like getting tips. I once got a tip from an air raid warden in Grangeover's hands. Can't for the life of me remember what it was. Those bloody gas marks. I was always getting my thumbs trapped in the side and the perspex always steamed up at the front and the...
Father!
Yes, Nancy?
You're talking so much, you're spilling haricot beans all down the front of your cardigan.
Oh, don't worry, Nancy, I'll save them till later. Borsi, asparagus, wackle, yum yum.
We ate on, on and on and on. We gorged ourselves shamelessly. And when we'd finished the meal and sank back into our chairs, exhausted and replete, I swear there was the faintest, softest whiff of happiness in the air. And I hardly dare to breathe, lest it skulked away all hangdog and forlorn and guilty.
Right then, you seems to have finished. I do hope the meal was to your liking and your satisfaction, and I shall now clear the debris away and return of an instant and in a trice with the port and the brandy. I thank you. What a load of bleeding gannets you are, without a doubt.
He wheeled the trolley out of the room. We didn't look at each other. We didn't speak. Our eyes were wide open with wonder. Then Winston returned with the silver tray Mother had won at bridge in Inverness all those years ago and served brandy to the women and port to the men. And then Rosie spoke.
Winston. Winston Hables, that was the most delicious meal I have had for years.
Thank you, Rosie. And I hope she won't be kept up with it during the night.
Where on earth did you learn to cook like that, Winston?
From books, William. Same as I learned everything in my life. From books. Well, that's how I discovered my wife was as ugly as Sinla. I was reading this book by the poet Alexander Pope, and he was writing about some bint what I got the vapors. Well, I wasn't much interested in that. I'd had enough trouble with the fumes from the exhaust of my motor, my car, look. No, what interested me was the way old Alexander Pope did describe her. He built up this real picture, and I could see her as clear as if she was sat next to me in the bus. All long, silky blonde hair, snow-white skin, long, smooth neck. He didn't say nothing about her knockers, look, but my God, she didn't ask him tasty to make. And then I looked up from my book, and there was the missus, sat opposite me, smiling and eating a satsuma in her uncle's London boots. Dear, oh dear, I thought to myself, if they hung you for being beautiful, you'd die an innocent woman. Yes, that is how I realised my missus was really, really ugly from reading books. And that's how I learned how to mend a bacon slicer. It wasn't from a book wrote by old Alexander Pope, mine. It was more like from a manual my dad used to prop up the meat safe with. Well then, if you're all satisfied and serviced, I shall retire, leave you, and depart. I bid you good night.
Oh, wait a minute, Winston. There's just one thing before you go.
Yes, Nancy.
Where did you get all this food from?
Oh, Nancy, that would be telling. It would, without a doubt.
You didn't steal it, did you, Winston?
No, Rosie. Swapsies.
Watsies?
Swapsies. All Swapsies. You'd be amazed what you can get in the country with 46 pounds of salmon poached fresh from the river with nothing but two metal coat hangers and half a stick of dynamite.
I rather wish you hadn't told me that, Winston.
Don't you bother yourself about that, William. I rather fancy the local bobbies having trout for supper tonight. Oh, before I goes, I have got something to tell you.
Go on, then.
It's just to say that I have put a new ribbon in William's typewriter, repaired all the locks on his filing cabinets, look, and changed the stylus on his radio.
I say, it takes me 3 weeks to put a new ribbon on my typewriter. Thanks a million, Winston.
You are very welcome, William. And as for you two ladies, well, I've washed and ironed all the bedding, I've got your brand new freezer, second hand from unnamed sources, and I've put your knickers to soak in fabric softener in a bucket in a utility room. Oh, yes, and when your dad wakes up, you can tell him I've mended that hole in the backside seat of his plus fours. Right then, I'll be away. Sight of all this food and drink has got my old gastric juices racing something chronic, so I'll be off to the pub for a swift session of pack of port scratches. I bid you all good night and adieu.
Well then.
Well then, indeed.
So, what have you to say about Winston now, William?
Well, I don't suppose the swing bridge at Beccles is all that important, really.
And you, Nancy? What do you think?
Me, Rosie? What do I think? I think I had one helping too much of the gooseberry flan. I slept soundly that night. I didn't have a hint of tummy trouble. And when I woke up next morning, I found Winston hard at work planting herb cuttings in the kitchen garden.
What a lovely smell, Winston.
Yes. You can't beat the smell of rosemary, Nancy. If you ever had an hangover from drinking stale beer, just stick a sprig of rosemary up your shank piece, and you'll be as right as rain in time for the pubs when they open at dinner time.
Thank you, Winston. I'll bear that in mind. Winston?
Yes, Nancy?
I want you to tell me something.
Oh, fire away, Nancy.
Well, what I want to know, Winston, is why you cooked that superb and stunning meal for us last night.
Nancy, that's all part of my plans, isn't it?
The plans? What plans?
Just give me half a sec with this fellow, Nancy. I'll take you a walk along the riverbank and tell you all about it.
It was a beautiful spring morning. The river sparkled. We saw the kingfisher. We crossed the single plank of the wooden bridge, and Winston held my hand.
Let's sit down on the bank by this pool, Nancy.
All right.
This pool, Nancy, he's the finest pool on the old stretch of the river. Many's the prime salmon and grayling I've caught in here. Yes. Many's the time I swam in it totally naked apart from my old birthday suit.
When you were a boy?
No. I often comes down here and has a good old splog around in the old together. He wants to come with me, Nancy, and try it sometime, look.
Winston, what a thing to say.
So you want to know all about my plans, do you, Nancy?
Well, I must say I'm rather intrigued, Winston.
The thing is, Nancy, look, I'm chuffed till Friday tea time and Mrs. have booted me out of the house.
I rather gathered that, Winston.
Best thing that's happened to me since I got stuck in a lift with my cousin Betty Abels in Weston-super-Mare.
I don't think I want to go into that, if you don't mind, Winston.
No, Nancy, that you don't without a doubt. What was I saying? Ah, yes. Well, when the missus booted me out, I thought to myself, I knows what I'll do. I'll go and live with the Empsons. I'll sling my hammock with Nancy and Rosie and William and their dad. They'll love having old Winston living with them. It'll be just a ticket, look. Am I right, Nancy? Is that what you thought?
Well, Winston, well, we're very happy to help you out of a hole. Very happy indeed. I mean, we're only too delighted to give you a roof over your head while you sort things out for yourself. And I'm sure that as soon as you have, you'll be wanting to move off.
But I have sorted things out, Nancy. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That's why I give you that meal last night. That's why I'm doing all these jobs around the house for you.
But why?
To lull them into a false sense of security.
What?
Listen, Nancy. What I does is this. I pamper them. I spoil them. They think, oh, Winston's the best thing since sliced bread. They sing his praises to the heavens. In their eyes, he can do no wrong. And that is when I pounces, Nancy.
You pounces, Winston? What are you talking about?
That's when I starts to sow the seeds, Nancy. A word here, a word there, a whisper, a rumour in. And then I got them. Clay in my hands, Nancy. Putty.
I don't understand, Winston.
It's simple. I got them all set up and ready, Nancy. I've sowed the seeds into their heads that they got to leave the village, leave the house, and move away into the great wide world yonder.
What?
Rosie, William, your old dad. Oh, yes, Nancy. Once old Winston's finished with them, they'll be off and away with a smile on their faces, a spring in their step, and then there'll be just you and me, Nancy. The two of us together in this big old house.
What? What? What the hell are you talking about, Winston? How dare you? How dare you talk to me like this? How dare you? How dare you?
That's all right, Nancy. You have your little weeble. Winston don't mind, look. He don't care. He knows that in your heart that's what you want. You and me together, Nancy. Just you and me. Because I love you, Nancy. I desire you. I want you. Well, then, I'm going for a swim. You want to join me, Nancy?
And with that, he took off all his clothes and plunged into the pool. And he splashed and he shouted and he wallowed and he guffawed. He turned turtle and dived. He floated on his back. He blew out great fonts of water from his mouth. And all the time he was laughing. And do you know, for a moment I almost felt like joining him. Helicopter! I say! What are you? Charlie T!
In A Happy Family, Part 1 of Winston by Peter Tinniswood, Winston was played by Bill Wallace, Father by Morris Denham, Nancy by Shirley Dixon, Rosie by Liz Golding, and William by Christian Rodsker. Winston was directed in Bristol by Sean McLaughlin.